We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in one more time to the WMIE 91.5 Today's Modern Worship and the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We had a great weekend this last weekend with getting to be a part of a couple of people as they were baptized as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is absolutely fantastic. I was greatly honored to be a part of that. And also last weekend, I got to reverse tables just a little bit. I've had a number of people who recognized me out in public because of being on the radio program. But last weekend, I was out helping my wife with grocery shopping, and we were in a local store. And I happened to see a person, said, "That looks like a person that has connected with us via Facebook because of the Refresh radio program." And so being so bashful personality like I am, I just flat out asked her if her, you know, if that was, if her name was the name I thought it was. It turned out it was her. And so we got to meet a Refresh radio listener that we had never met before because of a Facebook connection. So that's the first time that's ever happened to me. And so it was a privilege for me to be able to meet someone out there that that I recognized before they recognized me. So, woohoo! Anyway, today we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They specialize in block and concrete work. They've done numerous projects for us at Merritt Assembly of God. They have been doing concrete work for decades and decades. They've passed on the family secrets from one generation to the other generation. And I like I said, we've used them a number of times at Merritt Assembly of God. We will use them again in the future, and they will be a blessing to you. So if you need any block or concrete work, give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. Today we are going to get back into our study on sewing. I want you to know that this has been an informative topic for me. You know, what can happen as you continue your walk with the Lord after years and years, and soon it becomes decades and decades, that you can just kind of look at something and say, you know what, I think I've got this. I will never forget one of the times where I had done exhaustive research on a subject, had preached the subject, I can still preach that message without even having to look at notes, because it has become a part of the fiber of my being. And as I was going through that concept, and I was just praying about it in my spirit, God said, "You missed something." And now I will tell you this before I tell you the rest of the story. When God tells you something, it's true. You can argue with him if you'd like, but you're never going to end up being right. And so as I was rehearsing this, God says, "You've missed something. Go back and look at it again." And I said, "Oh, God, you don't know. I've studied this extensively. And I've got it. I can take you to all of the various passages of scripture." And he said, "You've missed something." It was particularly about the tribe of Judah. And Judah means praise, and the lion of the tribe of Judah, and praise the Lord, and all of that sort of stuff, and how it impacted Leah's life and all of that. And specifically, what God brought to my attention is that Judah was not only a word that means praise. It was not only a community of people that were identified by the concept of praising God, but the tribe of Judah was also the tribe of authority. It was the tribe that went out before all of the other tribes went out. And so I was like, oh, well, I guess I missed something there. And he said, yeah, you did. As I've been studying for this topic here on the radio program, this is not a sermon series that I've done at church and just bringing it over into the radio program. Sometimes it works in reverse. Some things that I'm studying for the radio program end up migrating into church messages that I preach. So today, as we're looking at this concept of sowing and reaping, I'll let you know that God has shown me some things about this that I did not understand in years gone by. I want to take you today to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. You will find Ecclesiastes after the book of Proverbs. You will also find it right before the Song of Solomon, and that gives you a pretty good idea. If you happen to open your Bible just a little bit past halfway, just a tiny bit halfway, normally the book of Psalms is about halfway through most Bibles, you'll find Proverbs and you'll find Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be in chapter 11, verse number 1. It says there, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not weep. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." We're going to stop the reading there. You can go on. There's only 10 verses in chapter 11, and so you're basically halfway there, a little over halfway through that 11th chapter. So here in verse number 1, you can see cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. That also entails the concept of sowing, that you are not holding it in your hand. There are some people who hold things so tight that they are unwilling to let them go. I have a bit of an entrepreneurial streak in me. I've had jobs, I've been in management and things like that, but I'm also constantly looking for ways to sow because I'm looking for increase. I'm not afraid to invest. Now, there are some places that I don't invest in anymore because every time that I have tried, I've tried on multiple occasions, every time I tried, I ended up losing money in that philosophy. And so I try to be sensitive to the Lord, because at that point in time, I thought I was following the Spirit of the Lord, but I was actually following the Spirit of Bob. And you don't want to follow your own spirit. Your spirit will lie to you. God's spirit will always tell you the truth. And so I just want to speak to you in this situation. Don't be holding on to things that God is calling you to release, that he's calling you to plant, that he's calling you to sow, that he is calling you to put into his hands and allow him to do it. He says, whenever you operate by this mindset of casting your bread upon the waters, you are going to find it coming back to you. You are going to find that you cannot outgive God. You are going to find that God is the faithful provider over and over and over again. It doesn't mean that you are going to find it the same day that you release it. That's not the way sowing and reaping works. There is a time delay. There is a process that transforms the seed from a seed into a plant, into fruit, into a product that is going to prolong. Do you realize that everything that you see around you is plant life that has come from the creation that God created in the Garden of Eden? Everything that you see is because of what has taken place in seed time and harvest in genetics and things like that. Everything you see had its origin all the way back there in the Garden of Eden, and even one step further than that, back to the decree of God. It exists because God said it should exist. And so that's great. You cast your bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days. I had a Facebook post that popped up on my wall. It was a reminder, one of those things that I posted several years ago. I couldn't even tell you what year it was right now. It pops up and then it disappears and never to be seen again. But in this post that just popped up, it was from 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. And it talked about how God had moved upon my heart and my wife's heart to be a blessing to someone. And in that post, I said, what I thought was being a blessing, God viewed it as a seed. And unexpectedly, I got a harvest on that seed. I wasn't sowing that blessing necessarily with the intent of getting a blessing back of that same nature, but that's what I did. And you can rest assured that God is very faithful, that whenever you let go of something at God's direction, you are going to find that when you're in a time of need, you're going to have that faithful provision as well. You know, the world has a different mindset, and that is, when you have something, we want what you've got. And when it's gone, we're going to hang on to what you gave us, and we will cast you aside. Hollywood, you can be an A-lister today and a D-lister tomorrow. In politics, it is a what have you done for me lately type mindset. And so I just want to encourage you, God isn't in that what have you done for me lately. He says, the things that you have released, the things that you have planted and sown, he says, you don't have to worry about it. Many days from now, when you are in need, when the timing is right, you are going to find the seeds that you have sown coming back to pay great dividends in your life. He says, if the clouds are full of rain and they empty themselves, this is verse number 3, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. And here's what, as I was preparing for this message, I felt quickened of the Lord to say, there are people who are constantly looking for a reason not to sow. Okay, it's too wet, it's too windy, it's too dry, it's too calm, you know, the sun goes down too early. It comes up too late. You can look for a reason. I'm too tired. There are people who are constantly looking for a reason not to sow. But if you don't practice sowing, don't complain when you don't get to reap. I've got a dear friend of mine, and I just love what God has done in his life. And as he began to experience the harvest of faithful obedience, people began to notice, and they began to see that his situation in life wasn't as desperate as it used to be. And whenever you're transitioning from that place, you might find that it's a little bit uncomfortable because you almost feel guilty because everybody else is just barely scraping by and you're experiencing the favor and the blessing of the Lord. And finally, my brother said, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for being the blessed of the Lord anymore. And God has taken that man and has just exponentially blessed him, coming and going. One of the smartest guys that I know, and just a major blessing to the body of Christ and to the community at large, all because, and let me tell you something, he is a giver. He is a sower. He's not looking for a reason not to give. He is looking for a reason to give. If you are looking for a reason not to do something, you'll find it. If you're looking for a flaw in the soil, if you're looking for a blemish in the pasture, if you're looking for a flaw in church ministries, you're gonna find it. Don't be surprised if the seeds that you have sown in being a critical person doesn't cause people to turn right around and begin to analyze you and find fault with you. You really don't want to sow those seeds. You don't want to sow trouble. But you also don't want to hang on to the seed that God has blessed you with so that you can sow it. Don't look at the clouds and don't look at the rain and say, you know what, it's just not the right time to sow. You say, God, if you've given this to me, then you guide me in wisdom. And when it comes time to sow, I'm not going to look for a reason not to do what you've called me to. Okay. Let's go on to verse number 5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Okay. Verse 5 is the response to the person who is looking for a reason not to sow their seed. And Solomon writes here, Solomon is the one who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon writes and he says, the problem is you don't know the works of God who makes everything. God is a God that when you put something into his hand, it multiplies. Just like that boy with the loaves and the fish, Jesus breaks it and blesses it, looks up to heaven, distributes it, and there is a multitude of people that are fed, and there's remnants left over. I was studying that passage one time, and I realized that the remnants were not for the thousands. It said that he didn't want even the remnants to be left behind. God is concerned about that. Our Sunday school teachers at for the adult class, Tim and Jerry Garrison, they said God does not waste anything. God does not waste anything. He is not into waste. He is into seed, and he causes things to grow. So it says, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. So what Solomon is describing is a man that says, you know what? I'm going to go out in the cool of the morning, and I'm going to sow seed. And in the cool of the evening, I'm going to sow seed. And we are going to watch a harvest come into being. He writes the latter part of verse number 6, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And truly the light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. That's verse number 7, the first part. So let me tell you from a natural perspective, okay, let's start in the natural, that when you sow two seeds, there are four options from the natural. Seed number 1 could be fruitful, and seed number 2 not be fruitful. Here in Ecclesiastes, it says that the second possibility is that seed number 2 could be fruitful and seed number 1 not be fruitful. So one or the other could be fruitful. So you want to make sure that you plant not just the minimal amount, but you plant abundantly. Okay, so when you look at that from a natural standpoint, you see that the possibility exists that both of those seeds could fail. But the fourth option is this: both of those seeds could be fruitful. Both of those seeds could be fruitful. So those are the four options. Seed one, fruitful. Seed two, unfruitful. Seed two, fruitful. Seed one, unfruitful. Both seeds, unfruitful. Or the fourth option is both seeds are fruitful. Now, if you look in Ecclesiastes here in chapter 11 and verse number 6, you will see that there are only three of those options that are mentioned here. One could succeed and the other not. The other could succeed and the first one not. Or both of them could be fruitful. What is not even in the realm of possibility as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned is that you can sow your seed and not get any return. Do you realize that in Malachi chapter 3, when the concept of tithing is mentioned, by the way, that is mentioned to believers, that is mentioned to priests, it's dealing with them first and moves on from there. It says that God gives this instruction: prove me in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you do not have room enough to contain. And as a result of that, God is saying, look, I am confident in my track record of success for people who honor me by sowing the seeds that I command them to sow at the times that I command them to sow, in the soil that I command them to sow it. And I have a track record, and that track record is not going to be altered. I will bring a harvest into existence. And it's going to be an abundant harvest. So I want to encourage you to take the concept of total failure off of the realm of consideration and say, God, you know what? I'm going to sow my time in prayer today, and I know that I'm going to be better off. I'm going to be able to accomplish more with my time after I've prayed than I would have been able to accomplish without praying. Okay? You casting your bread upon the water, you not looking for a reason to withhold your seed, but actually having a reason to sow your seed, that you sow not just a minimal amount, but you sow an abundant amount. You sow in the morning, you sow in the evening. You are in the sowing business. Okay, people did not just sow one time in their life. They sowed year after year after year. There is a book that I have. It's more of a booklet than it is a full-fledged book, but I was sent this booklet years ago about a man who set out to prove the concept of tithing. And so what he did was he bought a small amount of seed. He went out into the field and he planted the entire amount of seed that he had purchased. It was a very small monetary investment. And that year he reaped a harvest. And as he processed that harvest, he took grain that had been reaped, and he tithed off of that. He set that aside and he sowed the rest of the seed the next year. He wasn't doing this as a business model. He was doing it to prove the concept of tithing. And the next year he had more seed to sow than he had the year before, because the harvest had been abundant. And so he turned around and he sowed the 90% of the crop that was left over, and it required more land that year. And pretty soon it required more land and more land and more land. And pretty soon one of the leading personalities in American industry got in on the experiment because he saw the blessing that came from seed time and harvest. And it got to where they could no longer by themselves afford all of the land and all of the equipment and everything like that. And so they would take the seed and they would give it to other people with this stipulation. The only stipulation is that you have to honor God by sowing a tithe, the first fruits, the first 10%, back into the local church. And it was one of the most amazing, successful experiments of all time. Because God is a God who commissioned sowing and reaping. What's your attitude today? I can tell you at Merit Assembly of God, roughly 25% of our budget goes to sowing into local, national, and international missions. It's not a figure that we set out to do. It's just what happens, because we are constantly looking for opportunities to be faithful in what God asks us to sow. And so we're not tight-fisted. We look for ways to be able to be a part of God's harvest. You know, there are some people who operate by this premise: God, would you bless what I'm doing? And I want to propose another business model for you, okay? Another life model. Find what God is blessing and get in on that. Jesus said, the things that you see me do are the things that I see my Father doing. The things that you hear me say are the words that I hear my Father saying. He says, I'm following what I see the Father do. And you and I, we would be greatly blessed to be a part of that. Seed time and harvest is one of those things. Now, what you're not going to hear is you're not going to say, now, so go ahead and send in an offering here. That's not what I'm here about. We're not here to make money off of this radio program. What we are here to do is to sow the word of truth into your life and allow the Holy Spirit to take that and cause that the seed of that word to mature in your life to where you say, you know what? I don't want to be tight-fisted towards God anymore. I don't want to give God my leftovers anymore. I want to give him my very best. And I know that because I have been obedient to cast my bread upon the waters to sow when other people might not be sowing, I know this: God is going to take care of every need that I have. He's going to take care of every need that you have. This last Sunday night, we had our annual business meeting. During the course of the year, we had some pretty challenging financial stretches, but we said, you know what, we're going to continue to be faithful. After Hurricane Irma came and we sowed a lot of seeds into the community, everything turned around financially to where our harvest was better in the last 3 months than it had been in the first three. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.